you've landed inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gontor.
Hey there, everyday innovators. Tamara here, who, by the way, I'm a risk taker experiential for those of you who haven't met. And if you're curious what that means, go to launchstreet.com, G-O-T-O, launchstreet.com, and check out your everyday innovator style, how you innovate naturally. And then you'll know what I mean by experiential risk taker. More importantly, I kind of want to know what you are. So let me know once you get there. Take the assessment. Takes you 5 minutes and you'll discover how you innovate. Now, I think today's podcast will clarify or maybe spotlight why I feel so strongly that how you innovate and why you innovate is so important to each of us as we move through this crazy world. This podcast is a little bit different. Some could call it a rant, some could call it just sharing. I'm not really sure, but what I do know is that I wanted to do a follow-up to Matthew's question earlier in the week. He asked that incredible question or was struggling with, you know, software taking over some of his job. And I'd made the comment that the gap between kind of robot and human is shrinking. And it actually had me up at night, not just because of Matthew facing it, but because this realization that, wow, this is something that a lot of us are facing. For those of you that missed Tuesday's podcast, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to it because Matthew shared his question about software now being able to do what his job used to be, basically like these generated reports that he used to be paid to do. Now software is doing it. And he was asking like, where's his relevancy? Where's his value in all this? And, you know, as I kind of briefly mentioned in answering that, there's this ever shrinking gap between technology and humanity. So it had me up at night and it had me thinking and it made me realize that I want to go a lot deeper on this topic. And I want to talk about how it's impacting us and then how to find that opportunity for value within that on a much bigger scale in terms of how do we leverage what's happening around us. So like I said, I wanted to dig deeper and tackle something that I know is deeply personal and real for a lot of us. And that, you know, it's that ever-shrinking gap, as I said, between technology and humanity. I mean, the digital world, the power of technology, artificial intelligence, oh my gosh, it can now do things that I never dreamed while playing my four-color Simon Says game as a kid. Do you guys remember that? Totally dating myself, right? Like I grew up, I'm a product of the 80s, and it was that round circle, and I have blue, red, yellow, green. I don't even know if it still exists, and it would do like different patterns like red, red, blue, green, and then you'd have to mimic it back. That was like high tech at the time. And, you know, we don't have to wait almost 50 years for us to go, oh my gosh, I can't believe what technology is going to do, because that rate of change is accelerating, right? The pace that we're dealing with it is accelerating. So I guarantee you that in 6 months, a year, we're going to be saying, I can't believe technology can do that. It's just happening so fast. And then for most of us, this kind of realization is becoming very true. And in fact, I recently read a stat from McKinsey saying, for 6 out of 10 jobs, technology can already do 30% of it. Here's the thing about that too, by the way. It's happening at all levels. We know it's happening on the manufacturing floor. We know that it's happening, you know, at the checkout with now all the self-checking out, but also at the operational level, at the leadership level. In fact, I just previewed an artificial intelligence-based learning platform for leadership. So all those soft skills of leadership that everyone's touting, which is awesome and true, yeah, but there's an AI platform being built to help you with those skills too. Like that's crazy town, right? But it's coming. It's real. So relevancy is lurking around the corner for all of us. But this isn't about the doom and gloom around the shrinking gap between robot and person. I think you know me better than that, right? Not only am I an eternal opportunist, and yes, I said that right, not optimist, because I feel like that's rose-colored glasses. I'm more of an opportunist. And I want to be an opportunist in everything that I do. And I've seen the data and I've talked to people around the world and I've done the work and I can tell you firsthand that there's a way to elevate yourself, to be relevant and to be valuable in this digital technology, AI world, whatever you want to call it, you know what I'm talking about. But to do that, you need to be a part of what I call the insight workforce. It's not about blue collar workforce versus white collar workforce anymore. It's about information versus insight. And to win, you need to be about the insights. Let the technology do the information. So who becomes a part of the insight workforce? The ones that are going to thrive in the new era. That's the ones. And it's really simple. And this is where it really is relevant to all of us and possible for all of us. That insight workforce is people that can bring deep and valuable insight to the overwhelm of information, data, and tech that we're facing. It's everywhere. There's so much of it. Aren't you just inundated with all of it? So it's the people that can leverage that technology, find a way to make it even more valuable that are going to win. And here's the awesome part. That's you. And that's me. That's all of us. All of us have the opportunity to be a part of the insight workforce. It's not for a select few. It's not for a certain leadership level or title. It's not for certain industries. It's actually possible, one might say opportunistic, across the board. And really, take a look around you. Who are the people you admire in your work or in your life? The podcasts you listen to? The TV you watch? What I'm finding, and I bet you are too, if you thought about it, is that it's the people that bring me insight, right? It's not the people that are bringing me information and facts. No. It's the people that help me make sense of that information, that bring the insights I hadn't considered. That's what you have the opportunity to do. That is where the value and the relevancy lies, in the insight workforce, which is you, 100%, if you choose to be, can absolutely be a part of. Now, you know I like to keep it real, not just talk big picture. So I want us to actually put all this into practice. So let me give you some insight into how to leverage your most human capabilities, the ones that will make you part of the insight economy and the insight workforce. And by the way, you notice that I'd say your most human capabilities. These are the things that we as humans, the way our brains are wired, the flexibility, the nimbleness, is that a word, nimbleness? But you know what I mean. The pliability of our brains, this is part of kind of what allows us to stand out. It's how innovative we are, really. So let me give you, let's see, what did I write down here? 1, 2, 3 ways to make it real for you, to make you a part of the insight workforce, to be that innovative voice in your work, in your life, and in your community. So the first one is never present the facts, always present the insights. So, you know, years ago, I was working with my team. We were doing new product development, this big market research, a new product project. I think it was like an 8-month project for this huge consumer packaged goods company. So think, you know, food and cleaning products that you would find in the grocery store. And I remember sitting there with my team, and we were going through what we had created and were presenting to the clients. And it basically was the different segments of their customers. So we had kind of done all this research, and then we were presenting to them who we thought their customers were. So something didn't sit right with me, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I loved the information. I thought it was right. I thought it was a good starting point. So, but something wasn't sitting right. So we fly to our clients, we go and present this information, and halfway through the presentation, it dawns on me that, oh my gosh, we are presenting information, not insights. We're not talking about what to do with this information we found. We're just presenting the information itself. And that's not good enough. They didn't pay us $250,000 to tell them who their customer was. They were paying us to tell them what to do about the fact that that's their customer. Do you see the distinction there? I think it is so important. So what I want you to think about is not ever presenting information. So anytime you get to yourself, when you put together, you're communicating data in some ways, I want you to actually take a whole nother step. And I want you to ask yourself, what does this data tell us? What's the pattern here? And then present that. I actually give a lot more questions that you can ask in Matthew's podcast in the Q&A with him about, and I think it was this last Tuesday. So you can go there and listen to that if you want all the questions, but I think you get the point, right? Never present fact. Present the insights. That's where the power is. And by the way, just to go back to that client meeting, you better believe we got called out on that. There was one in particular in the room who said, this is all great, Tamara. Now, what am I supposed to do with it? He was right. We had screwed up. We were laden with information, thinking we were being brilliant, but we weren't. We were not being brilliant. In fact, we were missing the mark. We were stopping one step too soon. It's in the insights. That's where the value is. All right, the second one is be innovative. I know I say this all the time, right? But as you know, my definition of innovation is thinking differently about what's right in front of you to create an advantage. Do that. So simple. And I say it over and over again because it's so true. I want you to do that. I want you to think differently about what's right in front of you to create an advantage. Discover your everyday innovator style and then apply it. Because you know what? If part of your style is inquisitive, only you can ask those challenging questions that creates thought-provoking conversation and solutions. If part of your style is imaginative, only you can bring novel ideas into the mix for more breakthrough outcomes. Your ability to innovate is natural, universal, and one of your greatest competitive advantages, because technology doesn't do that. Tap the power of your innovative mind. We all have it. Now, I know what some of you out there are thinking, Tamara, I'm not innovative. That's why I'm listening to your podcast. And I so appreciate that and get it. I listen to podcasts for things I don't know much about. But here's where you have the advantage that I don't when I'm listening to a podcast on fly fishing because I know nothing about it. Here's the thing. We all have the ability to innovate. It's natural within us. Some of us have just shut it down for so long, it's a little weak and dormant, but it's always possible to strengthen and get back. While your brain is not technically a muscle, it does act like one in this way. And the more you exercise it, the more innovative it gets. And the other thing to understand about that is the structure for intelligence and the structure for innovation in your mind are actually different. And that's amazing for people like me because my intelligence is meh, but I can still be innovative, right? The two don't rely on each other. So think of intelligence as like superhighways, deep grooves in your brain. Innovation is more like a bunch of loose connected side roads all across your brain. It's a whole brain experience. And when you understand how you do it naturally, you can strengthen it faster, make it easier, and use it more often. So be innovative. And the third one that ladders off both of these is be an innovative leader. I'm not talking title here. I'm talking impact. If you want to add value, be the leader that gets others to be more innovative and more relevant. Be the leader that gets others to think about the insights and the patterns and what to do next versus just the information. Here's the thing about this, because this actually goes back to hardwiring or primal wiring in our brains. We're tribal. And we want to be like our tribe, our people. So if you lead the tribe into being more about insights versus information, if you lead them into being more about innovation versus business as usual, if you lead them to find their value in their human voice, everyone in the tribe rises up. Everyone goes together. But somebody has to start that process. And I hope that person is you. Be the person that creates a strong tribe. Make that part of your job, not just an afterthought or a nice to have. So to just recap on the three, never present the facts, always present the insights. Remember that value is in the insights. That's the gap between you and technology is the insights. That's the insight economy, the insight workforce. So that's number one. Number two, be innovative. Get out there and think differently and leverage that power that you already have in your brain that makes you so unique and so valuable. And then the third one, be the leader of innovation. Create a tribe where innovation is the norm. You know, I've been recently reading this book called Atomic Habits. Highly recommended if you haven't read it yet. Hope to get him on the podcast, the author of it. But he was talking about join a tribe where your desired outcome is their common behavior, or your desired behavior is their common behavior. I might have botched a little bit, but you get the point. What I'm saying here is be the leader that makes the team's desired behavior a common one. So I want you to think about this insight workforce and how to be a part of that, because that's where I think it's at, peeps. That's where I think the future is. If we want to be more valuable, if we want to stay relevant, if we want to be successful in the work that we do and in the life that we have, we got to find a way to rise up from the data and the information and actually leverage it to our advantage. There's this kind of white space, this gap between the information and then what to do with it, right? The decisions, the next steps, that's where you can provide the most value. And the awesome part about that is that's the human capability. That's the human strength that we have that technology doesn't. So to sum it all up, I'd say in the age of digital disruption, you simply need to be more human. Tamara, out.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, LaunchStreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.